Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast with me, Maya Fisher-French.
And with me, Mapalo Maku.
Each week, we'll be discussing the stories we're working on and which you can read more about in the City Press.
Hi, Maya. I am so happy to be talking to you. I promise you, any chance I get to talk to you, or anyone for that matter, I get excited. And today, we are talking about this whole rate cut. You know, there's so much jargon around it. The MPC cut rates by 100 basis points again. And I feel like people do not get what we are talking about. And in today's podcast, we really want to break it down so that people know what is 100 basis points, what is the repo rate, what does it mean for the individual men on the streets. So Maya, you did write an article today about all of this, and you're going to break it down for us today, right?
Yeah, so I just took all of the questions I was getting on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and emails, and I thought, okay, let's just put it all together and answer all those questions. So, and I think, Mapla, that, you know, the starting point is actually understanding what the repo rate is. So I can tell I've got an honors degree in economics, so I can at least answer this question with some with some level of authority, not a lot, but some level of authority.
Yeah. So and a couple of years of doing this.
So the repo rate is the rate at which the South African Reserve Bank lends money to the banks as a lender of last resort. So it's quite important to understand, and maybe we can get into that a little bit later, that they don't actually, that's not the only place banks get their money from. It's just they are the lender of last resort. And the repo rate underpins all lending and deposit rates in South Africa. So this is a way for the Reserve Bank to really manipulate and influence the extension of credit in the country. That's what we call monetary policy. So it is actually done via this mechanism of interest rates, of the repo rate.
Yeah, and hence why you get those meetings where they call them a monetary policy committee. So I think people also need to understand how they meet and why they decide on this rate cut from time to time or an increase, right?
Yes, because the mandate of the Reserve Bank is to keep inflation under control. So it's to say that it's monetary stability. And what monetary stability means is that we don't get these insane outbreaks of inflation, a little bit like the coronavirus. I suppose it's actually a great example. So, you know, to contain the coronavirus and not let it flare out, we go under lockdown. Okay, we control you. And this is the same way. We don't want inflation to get completely out of control. So we make sure that people can't borrow money cheaply and go spending, because inflation is driven a lot by demand. In many cases, it's because we go out and spend a lot of money. There's a high demand, so prices go up. We saw that with toilet paper, for example.
And in this case, now when they cut the rates, what does that mean? And what are they trying to achieve by that?
So when they're cutting rates, they're doing the opposite. They're saying, right, we're worried that there's no demand, that people are not going to spend because they don't have jobs. So let's give some liquidity into the market. Let's make it easier and put more money in the pockets of consumers. But also, and this is very importantly, in the pockets of companies. So if a small business, for example, now wants to start, we get out of lockdown, they want to start investing in their businesses, it'll be cheaper for them to do so. So it's just about making money cheaper so that you can go out and borrow and invest primarily. And obviously, Mapalo, for those people who have bond repayments, who have car finance, just on a million rand bond, for example, remember this is the third rate cut since January. So it's actually 2.25 percentage points. Maybe we can explain later what all that means. It's just the way you explain it. And that actually has put about 1,400 rand back into your pocket every month. So that is the way.
Also, that is a lot of money.
That is a lot of money. So that's the mechanism that they're obviously using to try and these were emergency cuts. So normally the MPC get together and they say, what's the inflation rate looking like? What's the rand stability looking like? What's economic growth looking like? And they all ponder this and discuss it for hours and hours. And that meeting happens on a Wednesday, and then they usually announced on a Thursday. This time, whoo, out of nowhere. In fact, somebody said to me, oh, they've just cut rates. I said, but it's a Tuesday. They don't cut.
Yes, I remember that. I remember I was quite surprised as well.
So this was a real emergency cut. Let's get money into the economy.
And now the repo rate is standing at 4.25. There's a couple of rates here, right? There's the repo rate, which the MPC announces. Then there's the prime rate. How does that all work together?
So the prime rate is the one we're most familiar with, and that's the one that the banks use as a benchmark. So it is directly linked to the repo rate. So if the repo rate goes down by 100 basis points, which is basically one percentage point, then the prime rate will go down by the same amount. So it is...
And the difference between the two, why that...
Yeah, so the difference between the two is, okay, so at the moment the prime rate is 7.75, so that's putting it at 3.5% difference. And that narrows and widens actually over time, but not quickly. I mean, it's really a massive policy decision. And part of that is because banks don't actually borrow money at the repo rate. So the repo rate is there as a lender of last resort. So if there is a sudden liquidity squeeze in the markets, the Reserve Bank can release some money into the market and the banks can borrow from it. But generally speaking, there's two ways that a bank gets money. First is from its deposits, right? So you and I go and deposit money. And what are they paying there? So maybe on a money market account, they're paying 5 or 6%. You know, if you go and you fix for 5 years, they may be paying you up to 8% for that. So that's one of the areas that they collect funds. And the other is through borrowing from each other, from the banks. And that's actually known as the interbank, through the interbank exchange. So it's the Johannesburg Interbank Average Rate is called, it's JIBAR. Another little bit.
JIBAR, yeah.
JIBAR. Is that a word for you? JIBAR. And this is the rate really at which banks are lend to each other. So that's usually a couple of, it's about 4.7%. So it is above.
Okay, so it's slightly higher it's than the rate.
So that prime rate of 3.5% is kind of also factoring in the actual cost of borrowing from the banks and that the banks pay to borrow money. But it is set as a fixed it is fixed to the repo rate in terms of when the repo rate goes up and down. And that is how obviously the mechanism through which the Reserve Bank feeds that through into the economy. And I think it's also important to understand that why we call it the prime interest rate. And Maplo, one of the things I find is that people say, oh, it's collusion. They all have the same prime lending rate. So that's not entirely true, because the prime lending rate is a benchmark. That's all it is. It's a line, like the repo rate. It's just a line. The word prime came from the idea that is your best rate for your best customer. So your customer's got a good credit record for a good asset like a house, relatively low risk, you'll give a prime rate. And around that, a bank then prices. So some banks may see that you are such a great risk for them that they're prepared to give you below prime.
Prime minus.
Yes, yes. Or they may say, whoa, we don't like your credit score. We're going to prime plus a few. And you'll see that's why we say shop around, because banks will view you differently. Yeah. Banks have their own risk appetites. They may somehow take on more risk than others. So the prime rate isn't a collusion. The prime rate is simply a benchmark around which the banks then price the interest that they're going to charge you.
Okay. All right. So we got that. Prime rate, it's not collusion. It's just a benchmark. And any bank will say, decide on your risk profile and say, okay, either prime plus or prime minus.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. And now, Maya, I think we've spoken quite a lot about the savings that can come from you phoning your bank if you have a bond to say, you know what, I know they've cut rates by 1%, still keep my repayments the same so that, you know, you have thousands and thousands of savings in the long run. What about those people with, you know, credit card debt, overdraft? Is it advisable for them to keep on paying the same amount, or what do you advise them?
Yes, I think it's important to understand how all of those loans are affected by the cut in the repo rate.
Yeah.
So there's two things to consider here. One, and this was a question I got, which was, does a bank have to cut interest rates when the repo rate's cut?
The repo rate cut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So A, the prime rate is adjusted, right? So if your loan is linked to the prime rate, then it will be adjusted accordingly if that's your agreement with the bank. And most of them, you do have some sort of agreement with the bank that it's linked to prime. But there is actually a law under the National Credit Act as to the maximum that a bank or any credit provider can charge you for a loan. And those are, it depends on the type. So for example, a personal loan cannot have an interest rate higher than 21% above the repo rate. So right now that would be 25.25%. Credit card maximum is 14% above the repo rate. A mortgage maximum is 12% above the repo rate. So there's also a law that really caps the amount. So if you are on the maximum, they will be forced to pull you down. But generally speaking, most of your agreements are going to be with prime. And so that means you've probably received a notification by now saying your lending rate, the rate that we're going to charge you, has been reduced, unless of course you had a fixed agreement. So some people unfortunately tied up into a fixed agreement, especially on car finance, and now they're not going to get that benefit. And the same thing applies, Mablo. You can maintain your repayments prior to the cut. And I mean, you and I think we've spoken about this before. It's a very, very, very positive way of paying your debts off quicker.
Absolutely. And I mean, this month we had to call the bank twice to do that.
Yeah, exactly. So we've had, you know, the first call was, hey, don't cut it with the first 100 basis points, and then phone them again. Hey, don't cut it with these ones as well. So you can, I mean, some banks actually just tell them blanket, whenever there's a rate cut, don't drop it. You can just make that, or you can contact them each time. It just depends on your agreements. But certainly I think on things like your credit card, you know, we've always said you should be paying in more than the minimum installment anyway. So, but on your personal loan, definitely rather pay in that little bit extra that you were paying in before, and pay that loan off quicker.
And Maya mentioned, obviously we're talking about a floating rate here, right? What about those people with fixed interest rates at this moment? Where are they sitting? Let's say they went in at prime plus at that point, and now there's been so many cuts just this year. What does that mean for those people? And can you actually get out of a fixed interest rate agreement?
Yeah, so I actually contacted the banks about this, and they are busy discussing this. So a lot of discussing has happened with banks for the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Every time I phone,
it's been discussions through and through.
Yeah, we're always discussing. So because I think that there has been such a dramatic drop in and unexpected. So remember, when you fix your interest rate, it's a bet that both the bank and you are taking. So if you fix it, you and most people take it because they just want to know that they can afford their car repayments for the next 5 years. They don't get a shock to the system. And when you fix your interest rate, it actually tends to be higher than the rate at the time, because the bank is obviously taking some risk as well. So it would be kind of, there is an unfairness in this because it was totally unexpected, which means that the fixed rate at the time that you took it did not, the bank, no one factored in these massive cuts. So whether or not you can exit the agreement and start a new one, I think is something that we're going to hopefully hear from the banks in you know, over the course of the next week or two. So certainly they said to me, we're still in discussions. Can we get back to you next week? That's what they said. So I said, okay. Next week, I'll get up there. But, you know, I mean, you almost think about it, thinking, well, if a car finance seems to be the one that's most commonly affected by it, well, and mortgages, but I'm finding a lot of people...
And mortgages,
but I'm finding more people are asking me the questions around car finance. So that's the question I specifically asked. You know, mortgage is difficult because you can't... To exit a mortgage contract and start another one is very expensive. Whereas you almost feel like you could go and say, I want to end this contract, settle it, by borrowing other money, and you know what I mean? You could actually finance it differently at the lower rate. So I think there is a mechanism there that the banks are going to recognize there is an opportunity. So all I can say, Maplo, is keep listening.
Keep listening. All right. But Maya, for me, it just seems like, especially with one of the things you've mentioned in the article, is that you fixing the rate actually becomes more expensive in the long run, because that's sort of like a guarantee for you, and the bank is taking on that extra risk. So it's not actually advisable, would you say? I think, especially right now, people are thinking, you know what, interest rates are so low, especially for someone who's has money and they want to purchase a car at the moment or want to purchase a house. And they're thinking, you know what, interest rates are low. Should I be fixing my rate?
Yes. So that I've had a lot of questions. And it seems to me the overwhelming answer is do not fix your interest rate. Even Standard Bank came back to me and they said they think there's going to be another cut. They're predicting probably another 50 basis point cut from now. So if you went in A, if you fixed your interest rate, you'd miss the next cut. B, exactly, that banks are not going to give you the current interest rate for the next 5 years. They're going to price it up. So for example, FNB gave me, I think Standard Bank said that they are offering on home loans over 36 months, 9%. So if you're a prime customer and you could get it at 7.75, you're going to, from now, pay 9% to fix it for 36 months. FNB said over 36 months, they are charging 1.1 percentage points above whatever rate you had. So say you were a 7%, you'd be paying 8. And for 5 years, you would pay would be a 9.85% if you were on prime. So, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Rather,
so you are paying for that guarantee. You are paying for that guarantee, which is expensive.
Yeah, rather than paying for the guarantee, pay an extra every month. So, you know, I think I worked out on a 500 rand, a 500 rand, wish, 5,000, 500,000 rand mortgage. I feel like, did you hear Ramaphosa yesterday with billions and billions and billions and billions? So I'm feeling like, I'm like 500 billion mortgages. No, 500,000 rand mortgage. You know, if you took that 1.1% rate that, you know, that to fix it, that would be more expensive. You could do basically that you're paying in about 350 rand more a month. So just start paying in 350 rand more a month and that'll go straight to your capital. And then if rates go up, it's fine because you're already paying in the extra. Do you see what I mean? So to me, I don't see any sense at all there was one time in my experience where it worked, and that was the credit crisis when rates went up so rapidly that a fixed rate would have helped. But I don't think ever really it makes much sense. And I think I would rather suggest you just pay an extra every month and create a buffer that way.
Okay. All right. No, that's great, Maya. And let's talk about savings now. I think now we've been talking about debt and what you owe. What does it mean now for my little savings in my account since the rate cut?
Oh, you know, I put it out on Twitter. I said, you know, this is what it means for borrowers and for savers. You've just lost, well, since the beginning of the year, with all these cuts, you're down about 28%. And people went, what? It affects my savings? Yes, it affects your savings. Because as I said right in the beginning, a bank raises money through deposits. So you deposit money at the bank and they pay you an interest. If they can't collect the interest from, you know, from the borrower at the same rate, they're going to give the depositor less money. You know, that's how it works. So we've definitely seen cuts in the savings rates, but, and this is important to note, is that that is not a direct relationship the way that borrowing is with prime. It is more so the banks, again, as I said, it depends on their liquidity needs and what they're really needing at the time. They can actually, so that's why you get sometimes these really competitive rates, like African Bank coming out and these incredible rates, because they're wanting deposits. So the banks are quite
Yes, and Time Bank as
and
well.
And Time Bank, exactly. Mm. And the banks are quite competitive at the moment because they want cash. They need to shore up their balance sheets and things. So what we saw, I haven't seen yet with this rate cut, but because most of them will only make the decision at the end of the month. But what I saw last rate cut was that most of the banks only decreased their deposit rates by about 50 points, you know, 0.5%. So it wasn't as dramatic. But still, the point is, if you're sitting in a 30-day notice or a 7-day account, or you're not in some sort of 5-year fixed deposit, which is different, but if you're in one of those sort of money market accounts, in absolutely you're poorer.
Ouch. But I mean, for those who sort of locked in their funds before the interest rate cut, and for like a year, 2 years, 3 years, they still get to keep their rate, isn't it?
Yes. So that's the same as, that's like where fixed rates work really well. In where, you know,
I'm glad I did that.
Yes. Well, I did, you know, we did a whole podcast on fixed interest rates, and I did an article actually on it. I think it was in February. So hopefully everybody listened to that and quickly fixed their rates. But of course we have also spoken on this show quite a bit about the RSA retail bond, which is the one that is, its rates gone up because it's priced off bonds. But for anybody who put their money in for a 5-year fixed deposit at their bank, absolutely their rate is not affected. That was an agreement between them and the bank.
Okay, Maya. So now how from the day that they announced the rate cut, when does it affect your mortgage? So if at the end of the month, are you going to find that you're paying less or you'll still be paying more and it will be only adjusted a month later? How does it work?
Yes, this was somebody very angry on Twitter saying it's not right. The banks are making money out of this.
Because people are always so angry, my goodness.
Oh, people are angry. People don't be angry. Don't be angry. They get very angry. And it's not true. What actually happens is, and I got this directly from Nedbank because this was the bank that they were accusing of terrible things. So when the Reserve Bank announces that change the interest rate to your home loan or car finance or whatever is immediately adjusted because the interest accrues daily. So this means that, so in the case of this particular rate cut, so from the 1st of April to the 14th of April, the daily interest rate would have been calculated at 8.5% prime, you know, and then from the 15th of April to the 30th of April, it would have been calculated at 7.5%. And so the installment on the home loan is recalculated at the 15th of April with this new, with the new updated installment being due on the 1st of May. So you will see a lower installment on the 1st of May, if that's your next installment. So it is adjusted immediately and you benefit from it. So that's very important to know. So because, you know, that, and there's probably about the only one upside of the fact that your interest is calculated daily and not monthly, because of course daily compounding is lethal, which is why your bond costs so much. But in this case, it works well because the interest rate actually adjusts immediately.
Yeah, I think that's very important, Maya. And it also kind of makes me think about, you know, that argument people always saying, if you want to pay extra into your bond, when do you do it? When do you not do it? You know, so it really doesn't matter. If you can pay extra, pay extra.
And also just one thing I want to add, I've also, one of the other questions I was getting a lot on was a car finance. So we always speak about your mortgage, right? Go and fix, you know, go and tell your bank to keep your mortgage. But car finance, you do need to tell the car financing company or the bank, and they do actually restructure the loan, or you can put in extra every month. So it is important just to, in that case, also just to pick up the call to your car financing company and saying, listen, I'm going to be putting in extra every month, or could you please reset my installments? Because they actually do, it's not like as easy as it is with home finance, because your home loan uses that access kind of prepaid thing. Car finance doesn't. It needs a bit of restructuring.
Okay, and the restructuring doesn't cost anything, or how does it work out?
No, they just simply reduce the finance term.
Okay, all right. No, that makes sense. Thank you so much, Maya, for all the explanation. Now we know what a repo rate is. We know what the JIBAR is. We know what the prime rate is. And we know that the banks are not trying to rip us off. Actually,
well,
everyone...
not always.
Not in this case,
We choose to be ripped off. We choose to be ripped off by not shopping around and not looking after our credit
records. Educating ourselves. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, in this case, no, they're not trying to rip us off. But I think we've answered most of the questions that people have been asking around this repo rate and the rate cut. And but Maya, just one last question. Why do we always say 100 basis points? I mean, the normal person listening to these things normally just doesn't understand.
Okay, so the only reason I do it properly is because somebody is going to put a comment at the bottom of the podcast and say, you know, it actually weanings this. So yes, I know what it means, but it could just say they cut interest rates by 1%, but they'll say, no, you see 1% on 7% is whatever it is, you know, so
it's not actually, there's a couple of zeros missing.
So basically, if you think about it, if you cut your interest rates from, I'm going to quickly do it here, so 8.75 by 1%, it actually works out at 11%. That makes sense. So a 1% on 8.75% is actually 11%. Does that explain it? So the difference between 8.75% and 7.75% is 11%. So that's why we use percentage points to say that when we're talking about a cut, it's percentage points. So when I say 1 percentage point, it means it's that actual point from 8.75 to 7.75. That's the percentage point. But if I only said it was 1% of 7.85, well, that would be 0.87%. So it's confusing, but that's why I go out of my way to mention basis points and percentage points, because otherwise somebody is going to make a little comment on the bottom of our podcast. And the only
Someone smart here is going to think.
So the only comments we want are, we love your podcast, and here are some more questions so that we can answer them.
There we go. There we go. For the people.
So that's a wrap for today. If our listeners would like to learn more about these or any money-related topics, they can go to the City Press website or to your website,
womanandfinance.co.za,
or my website, mayaonmoney.co.za.
And if you have any questions or comments, you can send us a WhatsApp voice note to 064-554-3959. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Because we want to know what it is that you want to know. You've been listening to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, featuring the contributors of the City Press personal finance pages.